Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvas Nun Ches, we're Nun Zayin Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting this morning at the two dots. It's located somewhere towards the bottom. The first wide line. Okay, he gives Mavlo Nisu. So he got to the point and they get married. So quick recap of what we've been discussing now the last couple of days. We are now here in the fifth parak of the Masechta. And our topic has been primarily the obligations that the husband has towards his wife. It's really the fourth parak is where we started this discussion, but here now in the fifth parak of the Masechta, more towards the obligations and responsibilities that a husband has towards a wife, and that's going to be we're in the heart of the Masechta right now. So in the course of this discussion, so we are talking about now the gap year that existed between Eris and Nisuin. Yesterday we spoke a little bit about why is it a gap year? Why isn't it a gap month? And sometimes it is a gap month. It's not a gap year. But anyway, so back in the good old days, it was a gap year between the two. This year is an awkward year for the two of them. They're married, but they don't live together, right? He's with his family. She's with her family. Okay. And so it's an awkward year, but nevertheless, the whole purpose of the year is that everyone gets their act together, right? We discussed this just yesterday. Right, she's going to get involved in her parnasa. He's going to get involved in his parnasa. Parnasa, of course, means two different things to him and her. But regardless, in other words, the basic point is that this is now the time. Hold on a second. This is now the time in which everyone gets their act together. And so once the year is up, now they enter into the marriage. Good. So this is what we've been discussing now, and. Let's go over some basic points that we discussed in the Mishnah in order to appreciate the upcoming Gemara. Okay, the year comes and goes, and now he's financially obligated to support her. And on top of that, if he's a Kohen and she's a Bas Kohen, and she's, no, I'm sorry. If he's a Kohen and she's now an Ashes Kohen, so now she can eat Truma at this point in time. Now, we already made this point, but let's make it again and let's make it really clearly. When can she start eating Truma once married to a Kohen? Right? A Kohen can eat Truma, a non-Kohen cannot eat Truma. That's a given that we know. And but when you're married to a Kohen now, you can eat Truma. Okay, good. You're now included in the family. At what point can you eat Truma? So again, we said this yesterday, but let's say it really clearly. So because most of our Gemara today, or a lot of our Gemara today, is going to be predicated on this one singular point. And that is that a Eishes Kohen can eat Truma already at Kedushin. The Torah describes that when a Kohen ki yikna kinyan kaspo, so when he makes any acquisition, so at that point in time, so his acquisition, sorry, I'm going to sound like I'm objectifying, but his acquisitions at that point in time are allowed to eat Truma. So he purchases a Evet Kenani, so immediately the Evet Kenani now is entitled to eat Truma. Now I'm going to obviously, you know, the word choice over here is not reflective, but once he purchases a woman, so now she can eat Truma. In other words, and purchase obviously is a poor word choice, but you understand, it's a Kenyan, right? The first stage of marriage is a Kenyan. So once he has a kinyan on a woman, and b'shlosh advarchim, in three ways, isha niknes, the woman's going to be acquired in one of three ways. And so then now she's kinyan kaspo. At that point in time, now she's allowed to eat truma. This is all min haTorah. What the chachamim stepped in and they said, yes, but let's wait. Let's wait till the second stage of marriage. Let's wait till nisuin. Then and only then is she going to be eating truma. This is a gzera de rabbanan. We know this from our Mishnah. The Mishnah assumed we all knew this, and then there's only one part that the Mishnah litigated, and that is that when the year came and went, and he didn't get his act together, and he should have gotten his act together, can she at least start eating Truma now? Does the Gzeira de Rabbanan drop after the year has come and gone? Under normal circumstances, they're going to get married at the end of the year, and that's it. Now she's totally entitled to eat Truma. But once the year has come and gone, and now she's not, for whatever reason, she's not married, the second stage, so can she start eating Truma? In the Mishnah, there were two positions that were reflected. One, Mishnah Rishona. Mishnah Rishona tells us that, yeah, in other words, at this point in time, sure. Sure. And then the Mishnah Achrona, then the later Beis Din came along and said, no, we're going to wait till Nisuin proper. Then and only then could she eat Truma. Good. That's so far, those are the facts. That's everything right now we said is basics. That's the ABCs of the whole discussion. And now we're going to go a little bit beyond the ABCs. Okay, in the Gemara itself, we are on Zayin Amud Beis, and we're at the first wide line. He gives man velonisu. So the time has come, and they did not get married. Amar Ula Dvar Torah. So Ula starts off with the following: that min haTorah arusa bas Yisrael chalas b'shumah shenemar v'koin ki nefesh kinyan kaspo. So v'hai nami kenyan kaspahu. Uma tam amru eino cheles shema yimzigulo kos beveisavia visashke leachia ula achosa. Okay, so Ula explains now what's behind the what's behind the method of the zera derabbanan. What's why did the chachamim wait for the gap year? And that is the following. Remember, she's living still in her house. In other words, even though she herself is an Eishes Kohen, but she's living with her family. And now what's going to happen is that, right, she gets together with her husband, right, every now and then. And they sit down, right, for a coffee. And he says, you know what? I have truma. You're my wife. Here, take some truma. And then what she's going to do is that she's going to go back to her house and she's going to be sharing the truma with others. Look what my husband gave me. Everyone want to try it? It's truma. It's delicious. Okay, so that's the concern. Ah, so because they're living in the respective homes, and because she may share the truma with her family, so therefore the Chachamim said, this is a really bad idea. Therefore, let her not eat truma until Erisin is, until the end of Erisin, meaning Nisuin. So, Ihachi. So the Gemara says, good. That's Ula's explanation. So, Igiyazman velo Nisu Nami. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. So, how then did you understand the Mishnah when the Mishnah said that the year has come and gone? He hasn't gotten his act together. At least according to Mishnah Rishona, so she now can eat Truma. But the concern is still there, right? In other words, they haven't moved in together. She's still living with her family. So why would Mishnah Rishona allow her to go ahead now and start eating Truma? So the Hasam Duchta Miachila. Gemara's answer, because under those circumstances, he has already established a place for her. Meaning, after the year has come and gone, and they haven't got married, but he will provide for her some sort of temporary dwelling. I am not sure exactly what that means. In other words, she's not moving in with him yet because they haven't gone to Nisuin yet. But in other words, he is financially responsible after the year has come and gone. Unclear. I'm not perfectly sure what the Gemara means by that, but she has left her family's home and so she can now eat truma. Okay, that's the Gemara's answer. So, Elamiata Liki Kohen. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's say the Li Yisrael. So lo lechal b'truma dil ma'asa lamecha ba'day. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's say a Kohen hires a worker. Under those circumstances, if we're going to be using this kind of thinking, that what they're going to do is they're going to be sharing. So now, when the Liki Kohen is in the house of Yisrael, so he should not be eating truma. Because they may be eating together with him, so the Gemara says no. That's not really a consideration. The hashta miditu safule. So the once he's hired, so the midide. I'm sorry, miditu safule midide achle. So he's going to be fed by his employer. So it's not. In other words, they're not going to be eating. They're not going to be eating his food. He's not going to be sharing the food with the others. That's just simply not considered normal activity. Just simply no concern over there. Okay. So where are we right now in the Gemara? So the first reason presented why it is that Narusa is not eating truma, even though Minotaur she's allowed to. So the reason of Ula, and that is that she may take it home and share it with her family. Her family, of course, not being Kohanim, not being Eishes Kohanim. So and violating the Isra of Azar eating truma. Rashmul Bar of Yehuda, here we go with the second explanation of the Gemara, and that is Amar Misham Simpon. The reason is the following, and that is because of, now the word Simpon, I can't help you. I don't know where the word comes from. I don't know the etymology of the word, but basically it's a mum. It's a blemish. In other words, there may be a physical blemish on her. Meaning what may end up happening is that he's going to marry her. Obviously with marriage, there's going to be intimacy, and he's now going to know her, and he's going to really find out, like, in other words, has she been hiding any kind of blemishes? Blemishes, and she may have a blemish. Now, what happens if she has a blemish? She did not disclose. So now we're looking at a mekach tos, meaning that was something that she should have disclosed to her husband. She didn't. And now he's going to basically say, okay, this is not what I didn't sign up for this. And as a result of that, now the whole marriage, l'mafreya, is going to be uprooted. And what does that now speak about all the truma that she's been eating for the last year? She had no entitlement. She had no right to eat the truma. Okay, so ihach nechnas alachupa v'lo nivala. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, again, I go back to the Mishnah and I'm trying to understand Mishnah Rishona. The year is come and gone. The Mishnah Rishona tells us that she's allowed to eat truma. Why is she allowed to eat truma? So hasam ivdak badik lei v'hadamayil. So the Gemara says, no, because under those circumstances, once it's nichnas al-chuppah, so a bedika will be done. Okay. Now, again, this is somewhat awkward and indelicate. A bedikah, who's doing the bedikah? In other words, the year is come and gone. So, okay, whatever. Let's assume relatives are going to be doing the bedikah at that point in time. Okay. This morning with my chavrusa, I just struggle with understanding, like, why are we doing a bedikah now before nisuin? Meaning, I'm sorry, this is just my own hangups, if you will. In other words, why not do the bedikah before kedushin? Meaning, kedushin creates marriage. That's ishus. So if you're worried about a mekach taos, like, why are we waiting the full year and then and only then we're doing a bedikah now? I'm like kind of like hung up on that. I don't fully understand it. But regardless, it doesn't matter. I'm presenting the Gemara the way it used to be, the way it was done, and the bedikah was done at the point of nisuin. So elamiata eved kohen shalachum yisrael lo lecha b'truma mishum simpon. So the Gemara says, okay, so why don't we use the same kind of thought process regarding the purchasing of an Eved Kenani? In other words, again, a Kohen buys an Eved Kenani, the Eved Kenani can eat Truma. So why aren't we worried about simple more and we're worried about blemishes? So the Gemara says, simple and bavadim leka. So the Gemara says that there's just simply nothing to worry about over there. Because di davrai hakachazile. Let's say the blemish is external. Okay, so when you're buying your slave on the open market, so you'll take a look and you'll see that it looks fine. And vi de gavai, now if it's an internal blemish, internal over here does not mean internal organ-wise. Internal just simply means it's something that the clothing normally covers. So the Gemara says, l'malacha kabai. So so now what? So you don't care. Meaning, you're buying him to work for you. He's a Eved Kenani. So, okay, so underneath the clothing, there's something that is not pleasant to look at. He's going to be wearing clothing. And you're buying him for the purposes of services. It's fine. There's just simply nothing to be concerned about. So go ahead, you're Eved Kenani now, can eat truma. You're not going to be in a position where you're going to retract and renege on the purchasing. Nimsa ganavo kov yustus. The Gemara says, now, what if you find out that from a behavior standpoint, he's a train wreck, right? He's a thief. He's a kov yustus. Rashi describes kov yustus as a kidnapper. Tosos really is bothered by that pshat of Rashi. Based on the Gemara in Bechoros, Tosos gives another pshat, a gambler. Anyway, basically, look, he may look great. He may be a train wreck, right, in terms of his behavior. All he's doing all day is just stealing from you. Okay, so, and maybe what you're going to do now is you're going to retract based on that. So the Gemara says, Higio. So the Gemara says that that's not going to negate the sale. Why? They're all like that. Now, again, that's a terrible thing to say, and you know, but they that's when you're buying an Eved Kenani, so know what you're buying, know what you're purchasing. So yes, he's going to provide for your services, but at the same time, however, they're going to be headaches that come along with it. It's something you should know and expect. So the Gemara says, Ma'ika. So listen, Mizuyan. Gemara says, look, what's the only thing left? And that is that after you purchase them, you may have discovered that, hey, you know what? It's so funny that you purchased this particular Eved Kenani. He's scheduled for an execution about a month from now. Now, right? And it's easy to argue that, you know, that's the Mekach Taos. The Gemara says, no, that's not a Mekach Taos. Because if, in fact, he's scheduled for an execution from a month from now, you would know it. That didn't come as a surprise. That's not all of a sudden like, oh my gosh, who knew that? The answer is everybody. Everybody knew that. Okay, so when a Kohen buys an Eved Kenani, so are we worried about blemishes? The simple answer and the clearest answer is no, we're not. In other words, something external, you'll see it. Something that is underneath the clothing, you don't care. His behavior, you know what you're buying. Okay, so there's nothing to be concerned about regarding an Eved Kenani. Where are we right now? So, min haTorah, Eishes Kohen can eat truma. At Erisin, Midrabanan pushed off a year until Nisuin. Why? Two explanations given in the Gemara. One by Ula, and the other by Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda. Ula's explanation. Here, Ben. Good seat still available. So Ula's explanation is that she may share with her family because she's still living at home. And Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel's explanation is that at the point of Nisuin, there may be a blemish discovered, retroactively negating the marriage, and retroactively telling us that all the Truma she ate not as an Ashes Kohen, but rather as a Tzar. Michde. Bein lamar, bein lamar, lo achla. My beinayu. Okay, the Gemara is good. So we have two explanations. Okay, so as per the normal procedure of the Gemara, what we want over here is a nafkamina. Right? There's got to be a practical difference. The Gemara says, ikamanayu. Sure, there's a practical difference. The Gemara has three different nafkaminas. Number one, kibbal. Okay, I'm going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. The Gemara over here is articulating three different nafkaminas. Number one, kibbal. Let's say the husband says, you know what? She's got blemishes. Good. That's fine. I accept them. So if he's mekabel, so now, according to the second explanation where he's mekabel, so then we're not worried about blemishes because he's basically saying, I'm going to take her as is. Okay, good. On the other hand, if the concern is sharing it with her family, obviously she's still living with her family and that's still a concern. Good. That's nafkamina number two, number one. Number two, masar. What the father does is he hands her over to shluchei habaal. To the messengers, the agents of the husband. The husband himself didn't pick her up, but he sent agents to go pick her up for him. Okay, good. And now, under those circumstances, so is she going to be sharing with her family? No. She's en route to her husband. Is there still a concern about blemishes? Absolutely. He hasn't met her yet. And finally, halach. What happened was is that the father or his agents went together with the shluch habaal. So on one hand, she is still under the jurisdiction of her father. On the other hand, she hasn't been given over to her husband, to either her husband or her husband's agents. So but on the other hand, however, she has left her family. So once again, if the issue is sharing, she's not going to share. On the other hand, if the issue is blemishes, it's still a concern.
What in terms of blemishes, what's the difference between if the husband finds a blemish versus just he divorces her anyway? Why is there a difference?
Because blemishes will retroactively negate the marriage. So that means now retroactively all the truma she ate, she had no entitlement to eat. Divorce meant that it doesn't revisit the past. Meaning while she ate the truma after divorce, she was an Ashes Cohen at the time.
So it's like a retroactive annulment of the way.
Correct,
marriage.
Correct. Correct, Mekachtos. Rabbi Tarfon Omer knows.
Did she eat truma without thereby eating something that was hectic and not allowed to? Or is there punishment for that?
Again, what?
In other words, if he's got a blemish, then he was unsupposed to eat truma. Is that correct?
If she's got a blemish, she's got the blemish and he didn't know about it. And then and there should have been disclosure, and there wasn't disclosure, and he only later learns it. It retroactively.
Right, but if she ate it, is there some kind of ramification for eating?
Yeah, in other words, yeah, zar shalcha truma. So she's a non-Kohen eating truma. The ramifications are full restitution. If it's b'shogeg, full restitution, and she has to add another 25% on, and on top, that's it. It's just it's Karen V'chomish. Okay. So Rabbi Tarfon Omer, and if done b'mezid, by the way, just to give you the full picture, if truma is eaten by a zar b'mezid, misa b'dei shamayim. Right, one level below kares.
Does she have to give back also the food, the normal food?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Not only truma. What does she have to pay for the truma?
Not only truma.
Why not the rest of the food she ate? She wasn't his wife. He wasn't obligated to feed her.
Yeah. Yeah, could be. If I can ask you, please, to give me an assist over here.
Sure.
Okay.
Plugs don't work over there?
No. It does. It just simply does.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, good. Okay. Right behind the, yeah. Oh. Okay, thank you. All right, just a technological pause over there. Rabbi Tarfon Omer. Oh, perfect. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Nosan La'akol Trumo. Okay, and now the following. So, again, we are still in the Mishnah Rishona period, which means that the year is coming on, and now he's providing for a Truma. So how much Truma is he giving her? So according to Rabbi Tarfon, Nosan La'akol Truma, so Amar Abaye Machlokes Bebas Kohen LaKohen. Okay, so you remember that in the Mishnah we had a machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva. According to Rabbi Tarfon, you're giving her everything truma, and according to Rabbi Kiva, half-half. And we already explained this in the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Kiva, why half-half? It's very simple. You're giving her her support for the month, and in any given month, a woman's going to be unable to eat truma at least 7 days. And again, with the 3 days and then another five, whatever. Let's just keep it simple. At least 7 days a month, she's not going to be eating truma. She can't. She's an Ida. And Anita's in a state of tumah, and she can't eat truma. So the so Rabbi Tarfon's position is okay. Rabbi Kiva's position is okay, good. So what you'll do is that you will just give her a diet that is made up of a blend of chulin and truma. Truma when she can eat it, and chulin when she can't eat truma. Very simple. And according to Rabbi Tarfon says, no, what you're going to do is you're going to give her all truma. So Abaye's comment on that is that it depends what kind of woman we're talking about. Meaning, was she a bas kohen who's also marrying a kohen as well? So if that's what we're talking about, fine. In other words, why? Why is that fine? Fine meaning we're going to give her truma. According to Rabbi Tarfon, all of it's going to be truma. According to Rabbi Kiva, some of it's going to be truma, but we're going to give her truma. Why? Because she grew up in a kohen's house. She knows how to handle it. But if we're talking about bas Yisrael, who's marrying now a kohen, so this is now the first time in her life she's going to be in truma. So different outcome, mechza chulin, mechza truma. So there, no debate between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva. You have to give her a blend of truma and chulin. She doesn't have any idea like how to handle the truma. It's so funny. I could have made an argument that you shouldn't be giving her truma at all. She has no experience eating truma. But in the very least, but that's my consideration doesn't mean anything. But Abaye says that under those circumstances, you give her half and half. Because she has no experience in terms of how to eat truma, she certainly has no experience in terms of how to sell truma. And so therefore, you're going to just give her, for the times that she can eat truma, off great, and for the times she can't, she'll have chulin.
And the bas kohen, the assumption is she'll sell it when she's in Nida?
She'll sell it when she's in Nida.
So why not just give her? It seems a much simpler answer, just give them both.
Yeah, correct. And well, in general, Rabbi Kiva's position seems to be just much more, you know, it seems to favor her a lot more. I mean, in other words, make it easier for her. Okay, in fact, Gemara is going to basically say that. The Amar Abaye Machlok is Barusa. And another qualifier as well, and that is that we're talking about Narusa of Abin Nesua, Divrei Halakha, Mechza Chulin, Mechza Truma. Meaning this entire discussion and debate between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon is only during the period of Erusin. But after Nesuin, so then according to everybody, it's going to be half and half. And again, half and half just simply means a blend. In other words, because for part of the month, she can't eat Truma, and for part of the month, she can. And so while she's in the Sua, so you are going to have to make it easier for her. So Tanya Mehachi, the Gemara says, good. This position of Abai, we have support for it. And that is Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Nosnin La HaKol Truma. So you give her Truma. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm sorry. First, the position, Rabbi Tarfon, you give her all truma. Good, we saw that in the Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Mechza Chulin, Mechza Truma. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's going to be a blend. Ba'med Varma Morim, it's this part of the Brisa now that we want. Because this part of the Brisa now is going to support Abaye. Bevas Kohen Lakohen, Ava Bas Yisrael Lakohen, Devrakol, Mechza Chulin, Mechza Truma. But if it's a Bas Kohen, if it's a Bas Yisrael, and again, she has no experience in terms of how to handle Truma, so everyone's going to agree that you have to give her a blend of Chulin and Truma. And by medvar amamorim by arusa aval benesua divrei hakol mechza chulin and mechza truma. And again, the brisa makes the second qualification that Abaye made. Right, it's almost as if Abaye knew the brisa. But remember, right, we've seen this before. Amoraim are expected to know every mishnah, right, backwards, forwards. In other words, that's a devar pasha. They may not know every brisa. So when the gemara over here says, "I have a brisa that supports Abaye," like didn't Abaye know the brisa? It could be that he didn't. It's really that simple. So over here, the Brisa says the same thing regarding the distinction between Arusa and Nesua. Right? The whole machlok between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva is only by the Arusa. But by the Nesua, everyone's in agreement that it has to be a blend. Okay. Now, we made our point. The Brisa supports Abaye's distinctions. We're good. But as long as we're here in the Brisa, so what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to finish the entire Brisa. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra Amar Nosan L'Shtei Yado Shel Truma V'Acha Shel Chulin. So according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra, so proportionally it's going to be 2-1, right? 2 parts truma to 1 part chulin, okay? And the probably conforms better to her schedule of the month. Again, we go back to the fact that on a regular monthly basis, she's going to be, she will be unavailable to eat truma. So 7 days of nida. And again, the way we practice it, it comes out to about 12 days a month. But again, that's with the chumras. Of every time a woman's in Nida, we also assume that she's polat to shechva zera, and not to get bogged down in the details right now, but the way we practice it, it's 12 days. Okay, and that's with a chumrah. Earlier, it could be 10 days. Anyway, I'm just illustrating how the 2-to-1 on a monthly schedule makes a lot of sense. Meaning for a typical month, for 20 days she'll be eating truma, she can eat truma, and for 10 days she can't. So that's the 2-to-1 ratio is good. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Nosan La Kol Truma, and he mocherz lokeches bedamim chulin. Rabbi Yehuda here in the Brisa says that you'll give her truma and only truma, and knew she wants to eat during the times where she can't eat truma, she'll sell the truma. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Kamakum Shehuskur Truma Nosan La Kiflayim bechulin. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that when you say truma, it means truma times two, right? In other words, the amount of food that she normally eats, you'll give her truma, but 2x, right? Two times the amount of truma that she normally would eat. Now, my binawi kabanahu atircha. Now, the Gemara says, now, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel are both of the position that the only thing he has to give her is truma. He doesn't have to give her a blend of chul and truma. So what's the difference between the two? And that is going to be tircha. And basically, it goes like this. And we made this point yesterday, and we get to say it again today. Okay, during the time of month where she can't eat truma, she's going to sell it. How's that sale going? In other words, when she posts her truma on eBay and she's selling her truma. So now, it's going to be at a deep discount because the only customer base is going to be Kohanim, and Kohanim can get it free. Oh, so now just think of the market. Think of the market forces over here. So correct. So really what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to put it at a deep discount. Then and only then are you going to be able to find customers. So according, wait, just one second. Let me just first finish and then for sure the counter argument. I'm here for you. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is of the position that so to make life easier for her. So knowing that, look, you're only giving her truma. You're not giving her a blend of truma and chulin. So what you're going to do now is you're going to give her 2x. In other words, knowing that she's going to have to sell it, so make it a little bit easier for her. So give her a whole bunch of truma. So knowing that when she sells it, she's not going to be getting dollar for dollar. No way she's getting dollar for dollar. So okay, so give her a lot. So at least she can get some sort of compensation, and she won't have to schwitz about it. And meanwhile, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you're only giving her truma, but he doesn't say 2x. I mean, in other words, you'll give her truma. She's going to have to sell it. It's going to be hard for her to find buyers for it. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda's like, okay, I got you. It'll be hard for her. Yes.
So, truma is given to the Kohan, and the person gets to choose which Kohan he gives truma.
Correct.
So there may be some other...
Correct. 100%. Right. In other words, that's also part of the market forces as well. Agreed. So, ike benayu tircha. Okay, good. Ha yavam, we are now continuing in the Gemara. We're nuncha samadala for towards the bottom of the Amud. We are now... moving on to the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the Yavam, so ain't a machal b'chuma. And when we say Yavam, remember we said this back in the Mishnah, we mean Shomer's Yavam. Rachmanus, her husband, died. Her husband was a Kohen. So her brother-in-law, who obviously also is a Kohen, because remember, Yibam is only by paternal brothers. So her Yavam obviously also is a Kohen. Her Yavam cannot feed her Truma before he does the mitzvah of Yibam. In other words, while she's a Shomer's Yavam. So my time, kinyan kaspo amar rachmana, v'hai kinyan de'achiv hu. Simple explanation, it's a drasha, meaning king and kaspo, it has to be your acquisition. And when it comes to your brother, even though he's filling in for you, meaning that's the whole idea of Yibum, but nevertheless, in other words, the Torah's king and kaspo is that it has to be the principal, meaning the one who did the acquisition, him and only him, can provide for his wife Truma, not the Yavam. Obviously, once the Yavam marries her, so now it's his acquisition. Okay. So also she shacharashim bifnei abal hashem bifnei abal amart lo bifnei yavam mi baye. Right, the Mishnah illustrated two cases which are similar to one another, but once you know one, the next one's obvious, and that is that let's say of the year of the gap year, let's say most of that gap year was in front of the yavam. No, sorry, most of the gap year was in front of the husband, and then rachmanis the husband died, and now the yavam, and now between the husband and the yavam, so now we have the full year. So what did the Mishnah tell us? Mishnah told us no, that doesn't work. In other words, she can't eat truma at that point in time. And then the Mishnah said, and oh, let me illustrate you another example, which is that Rachmanis, her husband, died soon thereafter Kiddushin, and now the rest of the gap year was filled in by the Yavam. She can't eat truma. Once you know the first case, the second case is obvious. That's the Gemara's question. So Zuvain, Sarach Lomar, Zukatani. So the Gemara says, okay, so get comfortable with the style of the Mishnah. Stylistically, the Mishnah does this. Sometimes the Mishnah gives us what is now a novel point, and then the Mishnah says, oh, no, by the way, once you know that, I don't even have to tell you this, but I'll tell you. Okay, good. So it's just a style of the Mishnah. Okay, Zu Mishnah Rishonah. Okay, what we're going to do now in the Mishnah is that we're going to transition from Mishnah Rishonah to Mishnah Achronah. Meaning in Mishnah Rishonah, the year's come and gone. He hasn't gotten his act together. But now, the Gzeira de Rabbanan is lifted. She can now eat Truma. That's Mishnah Rishonah. Mishnah Achronah is, look, if you didn't actually get married, you still can't eat Truma. And you're not going to be eating Truma until actual marriage. That's Mishnah Achronah. So obviously, there was a turn. Right? There was a new line of thinking that occurred between Mishnah Achronah and Mishnah Achronah. Sorry, between Mishnah Rishonah and Mishnah Achronah. So what was it turning on? What was the point that it turned on? So my time, Amar Ula Vitema, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Mishum Simpa. So Ula says, well, the what it turned on is because of physical blemishes. So Bishlam Ula Kamaisa Shem Yimzigulo Kos Bevesavia Ubas Raisa Mishum Simpon. So according to Ula, actually, perfect. It works out fantastic. Meaning, what was Mishnah Rishonah thinking? Mishnah Rishonah was thinking, what's the issue she's going to share with her family? But once the year has come and gone, and as we already established, now he has to provide for her a place, even though they didn't get married yet, but she's moving out of her family's home. Good. So now she can eat Truma. That was Mishnah Rishonah. Mishnah Achronah said, let's also take into consideration the blemish issue. Okay, fine. Right. And he hasn't discovered her blemishes yet. And he may discover it. And then the truma she ate is retroactively not good, meaning she had no right to eat it. So Mishnah Rishonah was worried about she may share it with her family. And that's why once the year is come and gone, she can now eat truma. But now Mishnah Achronah is taking into consideration the blemish issue. That works out very good according to Ula. But Ela the Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Kamaisa Mishum Simpon, Abasraisa Mishum Simpon, Mai Benayu. But now according to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Mishnah Rishonah, what was the concern? Blemishes. Mishnah Achronah, what was the concern? Blemishes. So why then have we moved and changed our position when meanwhile the thinking is exactly the same? So the Gemara says, Ika Benayu Bedikas Chutz. Mar Savra Bedikas Chutz Shma Bedika, Umar Savra Bedikas Chutz Shma Bedika. The Gemara says third party examination. Okay, third party examination. Basically, it was like this. Mishnah Rishonah thought that, look, what's happening is that the year's come and gone. You know what? Well, obviously, you haven't gotten your act together. So you weren't intimate with her. You weren't with her yet. But in other words, at this point in time now, you'll have a third party examination. Now, what exactly I mean by that, I'm not sure. You'll forgive me. In other words, not clear exactly how thorough an examination we're talking about, but it's not you. In other words, that's exactly the point. In other words, then, what exactly who's doing the third-party examination, and what exactly, I'm not sure. Okay, I'm just being honest with everyone here. I know you appreciate it. All right, but obviously, it's not the same as the husband being intimate with his wife. And so now the question is that third-party examination have any validity to it? Does it secure any further knowledge? That's all. And according to Mishnah Rishonah thought, that's good enough. And Mishnah Achronah then went on to say, no, it's not good enough. In other words, third-party examination is just simply not as good. Okay. Good. However, third-party examination works, meaning it's just simply not as good as the husband being with his wife. Okay. Hamakish Maisa Yedei Ishto. Okay. Let's start the next mission. Let's get into the next discussion. But let's just do a quick refresher. Her earnings go to her husband. In other words, as part of the Tanai Ksuva, so she makes money, so it's great. And all the money she earns is going to go to her husband. Okay, and that's what's called Maisa Yedei. Now, if you remember the quid pro quo, the reciprocal obligations the husband and wife have to one another. So he's going to be feeding her. He's going to be supporting her. And so the mazonas are going to go from him to her, and her maisa yadayim are going to go from her to him. And remember, I just gave you a great mnemonic when we did it. What was it? Back of mem zayin? Those are the mems, right? The mazonos, maisa yadayim. Okay, good. And peros and pirkuna, right? And then the dividends go to him, and and he has to redeem her. Okay, that, those were the pays. Okay, and then there's one more. There's ksuvan kvura, but I don't. It didn't work out as well mnemonically.
Same sound.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Anyway, so but right now we're focusing on the Maisei Hadea, and that means to say that her earnings go to her husband. Okay, so now that means to say that he's now the owner of those earnings. So the Mishnah is going to say something which is going to confuse us. And that is that let's say he decides, you know what? I haven't made a dedication to the Beis HaMikdash recently. And you know what? I'm going to dedicate. And you know what I'm dedicating to the Beis HaMikdash? My wife's earnings. Oh, okay, good. So, he got an Aliyah and Shul. Good. And he may... And he gets really excited. Okay, good. My wife's earnings now are going to go to the Beis HaMikdash.
A nice lunch.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay. So, what does the Mishnah teach us? Here's the Mishnah now going to be, is going to be confusing. A Makish Maisei Yadei Ishto. So, Hareza Osa V'Ochelas. So, what his wife can say to her husband is, okay, good. I'm glad you made a whole big to-do in Shul, Mazel Tov. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. And what we're going to do is very simple. I'm going to earn, and I'm going to keep my earnings. Thank you very much. Okay, now. Okay, good. So I'm glad I provided some humor this morning. So the obvious question is why? Why would she be allowed to keep it? Meaning, what about the Takana de Rabbanan? Meaning, he is entitled to her earnings. So hold that thought. Now, Mosar, Rabbi Meir Omer, Hektesh, Rabbi Yochanan Sanla Amar Chulin. Now, what if it's anything that goes above her earnings? Now, what does that mean, above her earnings? Okay, so earnings are basically going to be set at a fixed amount. We're going to go over numbers later in the Masechta. And so anything that is over the fixed amount, so who now is going to be the owner of that? Rav Meir says the husband, and Rav Yochanan HaSandler says, no, not the husband. Okay, we'll come back to that. We will understand that a little bit better in just a moment. But Amar Rav Huna Marav. But before we get to the second half of the Mishnah, obviously what the Gemara does, as it always does, is it goes step by step in the Mishnah. So let's go back to the first point of the Mishnah, and let's go over, he's makdish the Maisei Yadayim of his wife, and what did the Mishnah say? No, doesn't belong to Hekdesh. So, how does that work? Amar Rav Huna Marav Yechol Ish Olam Labala, Eini Nizonas Ve'ena Osa. So, a woman could say to her husband the following. Look, I know that you're required to support me, and I know my earnings are supposed to go to you, and again, the reciprocal obligations that the Chachamim instituted as part of marriage. Here's what I'd like to do. You'll keep your support, and I'll keep my earnings. Mm-hmm. Good? We're good. She has the right to do that. So, ve'eno osa. Kasavar ki takin rabbanan. So, mizone iker. And my seyada, mishum eva. And v'chi amra ino nizonis ve'eno osa rishus biyada. So what the Gemara says is that this gives us a window into basically the construction of this institution. This piece of legislation, where the mizonos are going to go to her and her earnings are going to go to him. Which one's the chicken and which one's the egg? Well, that's a bad example because in the chicken, we know, it's funny, chicken and egg. So we know, right, I forgot where the Gemara was, but the Gemara says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he created everything in its full form. So on the chicken egg question, so we know the chicken came first. Okay, good. But anyway, but over here, which was instituted first? Was it she got her earnings? Sorry, she got her support from her husband, and then to give reciprocal and to give like a sense of, you know, I'm not just giving you, but I'm getting something in return. Okay, so what the Chachamim said is, you know what? Now you'll give him your earnings. Alternatively, could have started off with the earnings, and then to make her feel like I'm just not right. What am I doing? I'm just giving. So then they gave the support in response to the earnings, which came first. So the Gemara says, "Oh, so you know what? I now know. In other words, what came first is the support. Meaning the Iker Takana was for Mizonos. That's number one. And then as a response to that, oh, you know what? Now that you're getting the earnings, Now that you're getting the support, now let your earnings go back to him." Which means now she has the right to decline. She could say to him, look, the whole takana started with, the Chachamim told you that you must support me. So here's what I'll do. I'll decline. Thank you very much. So Meisvei, the Gemara says, okay, so Mizonos Tachas Maisei Adeha. The Gemara says, you know, I'm going back to the Braisa that we saw earlier in the Masechta. It doesn't sound that way. The Braisa says, Mizonos Tachas Maisei Adeha. So, Ema, Tikna Masiyadeh, Tachas Mizonos. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you. But what you'll have to do is either edit the Braisa or reinterpret the Braisa. But in other words, but the correct way to understand the Braisa is that the Maisei Adah was Tachas Mizonos. Meaning, first and foremost, Mizonos. Maisei Adah, just as an exchange. So the Gemara says, okay, so according to Rav Huna, Amarav, a woman could decline support and keep her earnings. And now, what do I have? A Mishnah that supports this position. Which Mishnah? Our Mishnah. So, Lema Misayle Amakdish Maisayde Ishto Harehi Osev Ocheles. So, what she could do is Osava Ocheles. She can keep her earnings. So, my love Benizonis. Now, isn't the Mishnah talking about a case where the husband could have supported his wife and she just simply declined? And if that's true, we have now a rock solid support for Rav Huna Marav. So the Gemara says, lo, b'sheina nizonis. So in other words, no, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. What the Mishnah is talking about is, he simply has nothing to support it with. In other words, he doesn't have anything. So he would like to support her, but unfortunately right now, he's in terrible financial straits. And under those circumstances now, so what we could, this no longer serves as a support for Rav Huna Marav. Rav Huna Marav says is that when he could support her, she has a right to decline. But what we could say our Mishnah is talking about is, no, maybe our Mishnah doesn't agree. Maybe our Mishnah says that when he could support her, she has no right to decline, and her earnings have to go to her husband. The Mishnah says she's keeping her earnings. It's talking about a case where he simply has nothing to support her with. In that circumstance, if he has nothing to support her with, then she's keeping her earnings. But not because she's electing to decline. It's because she's just simply not getting anything from him. So, the Gemara says, the halach is as follows. When you have an Eved Kenani, so you don't have to feed him. I know that sounds, I'm saying it very flatly. I know that sounds like, in other words, he's yours. Okay. But the halach is you don't have to feed him. But that's true by an Eved Kenani. It's not true by an Eved Ivri. By an Eved Ivri, you absolutely are required to feed him. And the Gemara says, v'choshken ishto. And certainly with your wife, you have an obligation to feed her. And what you can't do now is that in a scenario in which you have simply nothing to feed her, you then can't take her Maisei Adayim. So what the Gemara is saying is, this is a no-brainer. Meaning, I now need a Mishnah to tell me that in the event that he doesn't support her, so she gets to keep her Maisei Adayim? Of course she keeps her Maisei Adayim. So the Gemara says, Seifetz Derechle, Mosa, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Hektish, Rabbi Yochanan, Salam, Rechulin. So the Gemara says that, you're right. Meaning, the Mishnah would not be introducing a single novel point, but then the second half of the Mishnah about the surplus, that part of the Mishnah is a Chiddush. So maybe just for that alone, we have the Mishnah. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Let's quickly recap our morning. Okay, the Arusa can't eat Truma as a Gzera de Rabbanan. Min HaTorah, the Arusa can, but as a Gzera de Rabbanan, the Arusa cannot. Why not? Two reasons offered in the Gemara, one by Ula, the other by Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Ula's of the position that what we're concerned about is that she may share it with her family, and Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda says that we're worried about blemishes. In other words, that he'll discover blemishes at the point of Nisuin, and it was blemishes she should have disclosed, she didn't. And now what's going to happen is that we're going to go back and he's going to upend the marriage from the very beginning, and all the truma she ate, she had no right to eat it. So those are the two reasons that were given. Then on Nun Chesam and Aleph, so Lamay Nafkamina, what practical difference? In other words, whichever reason you're with, she can't eat. And the Gemara give three Nafkaminas, Kibel, Musar, and Halach. After the year has come and gone, and now, even though she's an Arusa, she hasn't gotten married yet. In other words, he didn't get his act together. So now, he's going to be giving her Truma, at least according to Mishnah Rishona. So is it all Truma? Truma and Chulin? What's the proportions? Half and half? 2-1? That is a good part of Nun Chesam Ad Aleph. Then, on bottom of Nun Chesam Ad Aleph, we went on to discuss what changed. Originally, the Chachamim said that after the year's come and gone, even if they didn't get married, she could now start eating Truma. Mishnah Achrona said, nope, she can't eat Truma until actual Nisuin. So what was the change of thinking between Mishnah Rishon and Mishnah Achrona? And the Gemara's response to that is, for Ula, it works out great, and according to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, it doesn't work out as great. Okay. The Gemara tried to give explanation to that. And then we did a Mishnah on the top of Nun Chesamid Beis. The Mishnah talked about him being Makdish, the earnings of his wife. The Mishnah says he can't be Makdish it. The Mishnah didn't ask the question, but we asked a simple question. Why not? Meaning, it does belong to him. That's the institution of marriage. He is entitled to a Maisei Yadayim. So right now, where we stand is that it seems to be a really good support for Rav Huna Amarav. What did Rav Huna Amarav say? She can decline. She's going to be receiving support from her husband. In exchange, she's going to be giving him his earnings. She could just simply say, I'd be much happier. You keep your support. I keep my earnings. Shalma Yisrael. Our Mishnah is a great support for that. The Gemara deflected. The Gemara said, maybe not. Maybe our Mishnah is not a good support for that. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a case where he simply has nothing to provide for her. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's one of the easiest statements that we can make in the course of the Masechta. If he has nothing to provide for her, so of course she can keep her earnings, right? That, like, Pshita. So the
Gemara... Yeah?
I was wondering, so you're right, a little bit you read my mind. I was wondering, in other words, isn't there a shibud? In other words, are there liens on his property now that are placed because of this obligation? Okay, I didn't want to, in other words, I'm not going to share with you all my issues. Okay, it would take a long time to do that. So but anyway, yeah, Ben, I was thinking the same thing. If the Mishnah is talking about a case where he has nothing to provide for her, so obviously she keeps her earnings. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the second half of the Mishnah about Mosar, maybe that's the whole point. Okay, where we start with tomorrow is that not everyone's on board with Rav Huna. Not everyone's of the position that she could just simply decline and not give him his Maisei Yadayim to be continued tomorrow.